All right. Well, stay right there, because we're going to go right over to Luke chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 14. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So today I thought we'd do something a little different, since Christmas is coming up this Tuesday. So I thought we'd take some time this week to focus not only on Jesus' birth that we celebrate, but rather the larger picture leading up to and after his birth. So instead of this being a sermon continuing through Mark, I wanted to take this week and just to worship and praise God together by looking through the scriptures to see God's redemptive work with his son throughout the ages. I wanted to do a sort of survey of scripture, but coming at it from the viewpoint of Christ's centrality through all of it. So building on last week about Christ being the fulfillment of the law and of the prophets, this week I want to look at some of these high points throughout scripture that points to this time of year that the church traditionally observes as the birth of Christ. And for this overview, I think it's the best place to start is in the beginning. Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And we see later it says, "In 6 days, God created the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested." Even at this point in scripture, God is setting up a shadow of a future fulfillment. And that is what last week's message was all about, how our Sabbath rest is not on this certain day or a certain time, but is fulfilled and held within Christ himself. Christ is our rest, and it is in him who we find peace and rest. So let us now go to the Apostle John's writing here on the creation. John chapter 1, in the first 5 verses. So I'm going to be skipping around a lot today, so just be prepared for that. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life of the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So we see that not only were all things created by him, we see also in Paul tells us in Romans that all things were created for him. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 35, it says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways of finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has even first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." So we see in these two passages that Christ is the central point of all of creation. He is a central point to the judgment to the end of the age. All things are for him, through him, and by him. In this Christmas season, in the celebration of the birth of Jesus, We really are celebrating not just the birth of some promised child that the prophets foretold, but we are celebrating the birth of the God-man who has come to reconcile the lost and the rebellious world to himself. The Trinity is a mystery beyond our ability to understand how God could be three separate persons, and yet one. But this is something that we can find mentioned in Scripture, and one of these passages is in John that we already read. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." The same one who would one day be born of a virgin, who would one day be nailed to the cross and rise again, who will one day gather his followers as a shepherd gathers their flock, was here before the foundation of the world and in the creation of the world. And we all know how this story goes, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. My intention today is just to point out Christ, the promised Messiah throughout Scripture. Today is less about teaching and preaching and more just about glorifying and worshiping our Savior together. So after God created earth and mankind in his own image, having body and soul, we see that Satan, the fallen angel, who sought to be equal with God, comes and tempts man in the very same rebellion against God. Just as Satan did, now Adam and Eve sought to be equal to God. It was not just this eating of the fruit in itself, although that was a direct rebellion of God's command. It was a deeper sin. This was an outright rebellion. It was their desire to become like God themselves, to be wise and to serve their own purposes. They wanted to be the ones to decide for themselves what was right and wrong. They sought their own purpose and their own glory rather than God's. And now, because of this fall and the curse upon mankind that has separated us from God, there must be a mediator between God and man to reconcile man from his sin and rebellion back into having right fellowship with God. So after Adam and Eve's rebellion, we see God dealing out some punishments. And in this punishment, we see hope. For here is the first mention of a redeemer, of the one who will come and defeat Satan, an early promise of the Messiah to come. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" This promised seed, the one who will come and crush Satan under his feet, this Redeemer, this seed, this Messiah, is continually pointed to throughout the Old Testament in prophecies and pictures. The next picture we see of Christ and the promise of this coming seed is to Abraham in the account of God telling Abraham to offer his only son Isaac, his promised son, as a sacrifice. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham?' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.'" Going to verse 6, he says, "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on the back of Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.'" So here we see a picture and a foreshadowing of the Messiah to come. Just as God provided the ram for Abraham to sacrifice to God instead of his son Isaac, God himself provided the sacrifice needed to reconcile men to himself. In verse 16, we see again this promised seed, the one whom all the nations shall be blessed. Because Abraham was faithful, God says, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and the sand which is of the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, In your seed all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And in Galatians, Paul tells us exactly who this seed is. Chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "Brethren, I speak in a manner of men. Although it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." This seed, who is Christ, that was promised in Genesis to crush the head of Satan, comes through the promised seed of Abraham. Paul also wrote in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, he says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." What a wonderful picture and a foreshadowing of Christ's sacrifice and resurrection. Abraham had faith that God would keep his promise, even in the event of sacrificing his own son, Isaac. But as we see in the story, God provided for himself a ram for the sacrifice. Praise God for his grace and mercy, providing this sacrificial, atoning lamb for his own son, in his own son. And another prophecy that we see of this coming Messiah is in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. He says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of another god, that prophet shall die." So we see God promises here that he will bring Israel a prophet from their own nation, who will be a prophet greater than Moses. We see the fulfillment of this promise in Hebrews chapter 3, which I think we read last week. It says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house." So taking a look at this big picture view really brings this passage here into perspective. The Word, Jesus Christ, who through all of creation was made, and for whom all of creation was made, who is the promised seed, and the prophet who is worthy of more glory than Moses, because he is both the architect and the builder of all things. These are just a few of the promises and the pictures of the Messiah that runs throughout the Old Testament. So we can see that God has set apart a people for himself. He has established a holy nation, which he gives laws, he gives a temple, and sacrifices. And just like with the Sabbath we talked about last week, all of these things point to Christ, who is the substance of all of these things. The purpose of the law was to point to man's need for a Savior, to show man's inability to gain favor with God. The temple and the sacrifices pointed to Christ the Messiah, who is a sacrificial lamb provided by God himself to redeem his people. And the Sabbath points to Christ, for it is only in him and in his redemptive work on the cross that we can find peace and rest from the punishment of God for our sins. All of this, every one of these promises, every one of these prophecies, every one of these pictures and shadows find their meaning and substance in our Savior, Jesus Christ, the babe that was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. This moment is truly the pinnacle of all time. The one promised in the garden who would come and defeat the serpent of old, who would conquer death, hell, and the grave, came on a quiet night in a little town, born in a stable. The God of creation, the architect of our salvation, the sacrifice for our atonement, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was born of a virgin over 2,000 years ago. All of Scripture points to this moment, We even see Jesus himself teaching this very thing in Luke chapter 24. In the account of the two traveling to Emmaus, when Christ approached them, they were talking about this Jesus who had been crucified. And he says to them, in verse 25, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning in Moses, and in all of the prophets, he expounded to them in all scripture the things concerning himself. And in verse 44, then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, and all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Sometimes I think in the hustle and bustle of life, especially around the holiday season, the reality of Christ can be lost. Sure, we remember his birth. We sing about that silent night. But I think that we maybe lose a little bit of the massive importance of this event. That God sent his only Son to be born in the flesh, whose purpose was to die the most cruel death on the cross, paying the punishment of our rebellion and the curse of Adam's sin, to make for himself a holy nation, to make for himself a people set apart for his purpose and for his glory. So as we observe this tradition of Christmas and celebrate this birth of Christ, let us do so with a renewed fervor, remembering the centrality of Christ in all of these things, that all things exist by him, through him, and for him, for his glory. All of time before the birth of Jesus was looking to this future Messiah, this promised seed, the Savior that would come. But now that he has come and his work is finished, it is Christ that we look to for our salvation. That night in a stable in Bethlehem truly is the pinnacle of all of creation. Let us close. Our Father, as we come into this time of year that we celebrate the birth of your Son, the Savior of the world, it is just with awe and amazement as we go through Scripture and we see the promises and the prophecies leading to this point. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise and glory for your plan for your people to reconcile them to you. Lord, just pray that you be with each of us as we gather with our families, as we celebrate this time of year. Help us to keep you central in all of this. And in Jesus' name, amen.